Psalm 127:1 says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. And From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, we want to talk about the family today, and we want to talk specifically about a conference coming up July 6th, 7th, and 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena in Tupelo, Mississippi. It's the Marriage and Family Life Conference put on by American Family Association. This is the fifth annual Marriage Family Life Conference, and the theme this year is For His Glory Alone. This is a great conference. Debbie and I were involved with it just a couple of years ago. It's a great conference because it's two conferences in one. It includes a youth apologetics tract for kids between the ages of 4 and 17. And the cost is $75 per person, and children between those ages of 4 and 17, $50 per child. It's a great conference to bring the family to, and it will teach you key things that you need to know. Ministers to both adults and youth in a culture-weary environment that we live in today, and encourages believers to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. You know, that's from Jude, verse 3. We don't give the chapter because it's only one chapter in the book of Jude, but Jude, verse 3, contend earnestly for the faith. And we need to do that as believers in Jesus. This conference will help you do that. It will equip believers to defend biblical truth, especially regarding marriage, identity, and life. Challenge parents and grandparents to transmit the gospel to the next generation, and fortify Christian youth to stand against the pressure of popular lies in education, entertainment, and media. Well, to discuss this great conference coming up in July is Israel Wayne. He's a regular conference speaker and an author of numerous books. He has a passion for defending the Christian faith and promoting a biblical worldview. And it is my pleasure to welcome him to Real Truth for today. Israel, welcome to the program. Israel, are you there? Uh-oh. We lost him. We're getting him back. Israel has a number of books, including Homeschooling from a Biblical Worldview, Full-Time Parenting, A Guide to Family-Based Discipleship, Education, Does God Have an Opinion? And his newest book, Answers for Homeschooling, Top 25 Questions Critics Ask. As I was reading Israel's bio, I was thinking to myself how for parents, it's becoming more and more of an issue concerning public school. Now, you may live in an area where the public schools are still good. We live in Texarkana, and the schools are still good, the public schools. Lots of Christians in the public schools here, and you can feel safe sending your kid to public school here. But as a parent, you need to really know what's being taught, and you need to be involved for sure. But in other places, it's just not safe to send your kid to school there. It's, they're learning terrible curriculum, or it's a very rough and violent environment. And so it's more and more of an issue for parents to pray through. Do we need to homeschool our child? And I know that's difficult for a lot of parents, because if both parents are working, how are they going to do that? Sending your child or your children to private school, very, very difficult to do financially. So this conference can help you with that, and Israel Wayne and his books can help you with that and help you navigate those waters. And it is a, I will say from personal experience, this conference that is coming up is a really, it's a fun experience. It's an enriching experience. It's a time to really rub shoulders with people that you've listened to on the radio, with people that, you know, have knowledge that you don't have, perhaps, and you can ask them questions, and you can get to just kind of hang out with them and visit with them. And so when Debbie and I were involved a couple of years ago, we talked about marriage and we talked about how to keep the home fires burning because that is so critical. Dr. Charles Lowry was with us at First Baptist Texarkana this weekend, and he was talking about how, sad reality, so many couples, when they have kids, they focus in on their kids and they don't focus on the marriage anymore. And when that happens, their kids grow up and then they leave the house, and then the husband and wife are left looking at each other and they're looking at a virtual stranger. They've kind of just been two ships passing in the night, and everything was focused on their kids. And now, you know, they're looking at one another saying, okay, I don't really know you. I don't know if I really want to spend the rest of my life with you. And sadly, many couples after 25, 30 years of marriage, they get divorced. And so what is the way to prevent that happening for you? Pour into your marriage every single day and work on your marriage and know that marriage is the most important thing in your family. Outside of your relationship with Jesus, it's your marriage. And the best thing that a man can do for his children, the best thing that a mom can do for her children is to love his spouse, to love her spouse, and to really make the marriage strong. And Psalm 127 verse 1 says, hey, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. So we need God to do that. We need our relationship with the Lord to be vibrant and growing in order to build a home that is pleasing to the Lord, to build a home that is a blessing to our children, to build a home where the kids just love being home. My wife and I had three daughters, Jill, Amy, and Sarah, and they were 5 years apart from the oldest to the youngest. And we just had a great time together growing up. And our kids, as they got to be, you know, in elementary school and then in junior high and high school, they had kids come over to our house. We had a swimming pool. I told Debbie, I said, I always want to have a house with a swimming pool when the kids were old enough to swim, because that allowed them to come. You know, our house could be the place where they all come to. And our kids' friends said, we love to come to your house because it was fun. There was joy there. Well, our guest, Israel Wayne, is back with us. So, Israel, welcome to Real Truth for today.
Hey, thank you very much.
Yeah, we lost you there for a minute, but I'm glad that you're back. And Israel, tell us about the conference coming up. Why did you want to be a part of that?
Well, I've actually been a part of the Marriage and Family Life Conference promoted by American Family Association for the last 2 years. Last year, I was a teen conference speaker. They have a great apologetics track for teenagers and children, and I was able to speak to the middle schoolers and high schoolers. Year before that, I was a keynote speaker, and I'll be back this year as a keynote speaker, but it is an exceptional Christian conference for the whole family. It's pretty amazing.
Okay, I was reading in your bio, Israel, and I was just thinking, your name is Israel Wayne. You have to get that reversed a lot. People call you Wayne.
I do, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, common occurrence, for sure.
Yeah. Okay, so you say that most people are schooled but never truly educated. Unpack that. What does that mean?
Well, I think that a lot of times we think of school and education as being synonymous concepts. But true education focuses on the development of the person, not just an information download. And so true education is going to be focusing on the character of the person, on instructing them and giving them an ethical basis to know how to use knowledge and information. There's a whole lot more in education than there is just in dragging them to a school and making them sit at a desk.
So how do parents make sure their kids are being educated and not just schooled?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to do is, from my perspective as a Christian, is that we have to begin with the fear of the Lord, because Proverbs tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So how are we going to have proper understanding if we don't begin with that premise? And then, you know, of course, in Peter's epistle, he tells us that we're supposed to begin with faith and add to faith virtue, which is moral character, and then add to virtue, knowledge. So the Christian paradigm is that we don't just start with knowledge and information. We actually begin with faith, with that premise, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. And then we add to that the layer of moral virtue and character. And then only after that does the student know what to do with the information that they're given.
Now, I had said when we were trying to get you back on the phone that in our day and age, parents are having to face the reality of, okay, maybe I was not wanting to homeschool, but I don't really have a choice. The schools here are not good. Are we seeing a great increase in parents that pull their kids out of public school and start teaching them themselves?
Yeah, I think COVID really accelerated that in a lot of ways, because for the first time, a lot of parents actually saw what their children were learning in schools. Prior to that, a lot of things that were being taught were just hidden at the classroom level. And the parents just had no idea that it was being taught. But as soon as they started seeing it come in through the computers into their kitchens and living rooms, they were appalled that this kind of material was actually being taught in the schools. So it wasn't like the school started teaching anything new or different. It's just that parents finally became aware of it. And so that has awakened quite a few of them.
Israel, why do you think we're losing our youth to the culture war?
Well, I think the biggest factor in terms of influence is really time. And the U.S. government says that the average father only spends 29 minutes a day with his children, and the average mother's is only an hour a day. And so we've subcontracted the raising of our children out to government schools, to TV, to video games, to lots of other sources, social media. And so students spend 7.5 hours a day in school and 7.5 hours a day after school in multimedia. So 15 hours of their 16-hour waking day is spent with forces and influences that are really anti-Christian, not religiously neutral, but anti-Christian. And that adds up to about 25,000 hours between kindergarten and 12th grade. So before they graduate high school, they've had about 25,000 hours of anti-Christian indoctrination that Christian parents have subcontracted, their children to and exposed them to. And then they're surprised that they're not the primary influence in their child's life. There's just no way that parents can be the primary influence in their child's life when they're only spending 29 minutes or even an hour a day influencing them and trying to direct them.
Yeah, that's a huge concern. And even if you spend an hour or two with your kids, it's, parents that spend a lot of time with their children, they're still at a disadvantage. And so let me ask you this, Israel, just so we have about a minute and a half. Why should a parent take his family to this conference?
Well, there's something for everyone at the Marriage and Family Life Conference. There's teaching for mom, for dad, but also for teenagers and children. There's great apologetics material to teach you how to defend your faith, to build a strong family. It's just one of the best conferences that I've ever attended, and I know that your family will just be encouraged and strengthened and equipped with a biblical worldview and a whole new perspective on how to really live as a biblical family in an anti-Christian world.
Amen. Amen. And you get a chance to rub shoulders with Israel Wayne and others and ask them questions, because there are times to mingle and to just be together. So the conference is called For His Glory Alone, American Family Association's Marriage Family Life Conference, Tupelo, Mississippi, July 6th through the 8th. It is in the Cadence Bank Arena there in Tupelo, and it's $75 per person and $50 per child. And you won't be disappointed, and it will help you as a mom, as a dad, and as a student stand for Christ in a culture that is just rotting all around us as we stand up as soldiers of the cross. So Israel, thank you for being my guest today. God bless you, my friend, and your ministry, and may He use this conference for His glory. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Thank you. You get the soil ready.
You put the seeds in and then you water it.
How do you plant a garden?
I don't know.
You pray that God will give you a good harvest.
Then you have to work it to get all the weeds away.
And then God brings the plants.
Planting a garden takes planning, hard work, and God's blessing. So does creating a lasting legacy for the people and charities that mean the most to you. The AFA Foundation is here to help you sow the financial seeds God has blessed you with in order for them to blossom for generations to come. We do this by offering free consultation and assistance in the areas of charitable gift annuities, estate planning, will and trust planning, and bequests. To learn more, call 800-326-4543, extension 345, 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Are you running away from God? Lots of things can cause people to turn their back on God. Maybe you feel God let you down. Maybe you got tangled in sin, or maybe you just got busy with life. Do you remember the story about the prodigal son in the Bible? When this wayward son returned home, he was met with open arms by his dad. That's the way your Heavenly Father feels about you. Come back to God. He's waiting for you. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
You've got Christians who love Jesus and they have kids and they're just like, I just don't know what my calling is.
Right.
Will and Mickey Addison.
What is it that Jesus wants me to do? I feel like I'm a teacher.
And that's that's why when you go to the scripture and talk about equipping the saints for work of ministry, you should look inside first. It can be right, you know, at your address.
Marriage, family, and the church. That's the focus of Airing the Addisons. Weekday afternoons at 2 Central on American Family Radio.
Bob Kraft, founder of Reach a Village Ministries.
As soon as someone opens their eyes and sees the light of the gospel, and they understand the message for the first time, and they get that forgiveness and that grace and the power of the Holy Spirit coming into a family in the middle of a village like that is totally transforming. The focus of Reach a Village is to see that these villages that have been unreached up to this point have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And the gospel comes to them through local people who have been trained and equipped with materials that they need to go into the village, share the gospel, disciple people, and form a local church. When the gospel comes in, everything changes.
Help impact lives for Christ by partnering with Reach a Village. Visit reachavillage.org/AFR.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're focusing on the family today on our program. Psalm 34:11 says, "Come, you children, listen to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Well, our next guest is a man that's been at First Baptist Texarkana on several occasions. I first heard of him at a Promise Keepers rally, and I said, man, this guy is tremendous. His name is Dr. Rick Rigsby. He is a best-selling author who became an internet sensation when his speech on hope, produced by a company called Goldcast, was viewed by over 300 million people worldwide. He's an internationally recognized motivational speaker and founder of Rick Rigsby Communications. He speaks all over the world. He's a former award-winning journalist, a college professor, and football character coach at Texas A&M University, and host of a weekly podcast called How You Livin', designed to encourage, inspire, and help people to dream bigger and stretch to achieve the impossible. And he wrote a book that I love. I just love the title, Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout. It has to do with his dad teaching Rick how to be a man. Rick, my friend, welcome to the program.
Pastor Jeff, it's always great to be with you. That was a mouthful, wasn't it?
You've done a lot, my friend.
The only people that like long introductions are mothers, and they're entitled to love them. Mine's in heaven.
Well, how have you been? It's been a while since we've hooked up.
We've been doing very well, thank the Lord, and we just absolutely appreciate this wonderful opportunity to be with you folks. We love American Family Radio every time I get a chance to be on. I take advantage of it. I really support this wonderful platform to really spread God's word, spread his love, especially in a compromised culture. So thank you for the opportunity and the invitation. Well, hope you and Debbie are doing well also.
Yes, we are. And since we were last together, we have two more grandkids, two grandsons. And so we had all girls, three girls and then two granddaughters. And now we have two grandsons.
I love that. What a blessing. I just love that. My favorite title is Poppy. That's when they crawl up in your lap, there's nothing like it.
Okay, so I got to tell you this, Rick. Debbie was very concerned about what her grandma name was going to be because she didn't want to be grandma. And so she came up with names for us for the first grandchild. And she said, Jeff, I'm going to be Gigi and you're going to be Poppy. And then our first granddaughter, Emmy, came along and she calls Debbie Poppy and me Gigi.
As it should be.
And as you know, once you get dubbed a name, that's your name. And so
you're there, man. You're GG the rest of your days on this earth.
That's right. Okay, so Rick, I was watching again this morning the graduation speech where you talked about your dad and you talked about the book Lessons from a Third Grade Dropout. Is your dad still alive or is he in heaven?
No, he folded his tent, changed his address, and he's home now.
Okay. Very good. Tell about your dad, because I know, he had a huge impact in your life. And how did a guy that dropped out of school in third grade produce a child that has a PhD?
Yeah, only the Lord. And I want to share this with your listeners before I share about my dad's background. A lot of times we think that only the famous can make an impact. Only the educated can make an impact. Only those that went to seminary or Bible school can make an impact. My father was not known largely out of his family or his work peers. And yet today, he's being quoted on every continent in the world. And as the story goes, my dad grew up in a small town in Texas, Huntsville, Texas. And we would visit every year for family reunions. We'd load up the station wagon. Now, Jeff, I'm a lot older than you. You probably don't remember Rambler station wagons.
Oh, I do. Anyway, I do.
And we'd go visit family. We lived in the San Francisco Bay Area. My father migrated to the West Coast after World War II, where he served in the Army. When he married my mother, it was in the 1950s. I come along as the oldest of the lot, 1956. All I wanted my dad to do was stop talking. He didn't talk very much. I get my gift of gab from my mother. But my father would make these statements, and I just wanted to watch Gilligan's Island, man. I just wanted to watch Lost in Space. I didn't want to hear, son, you'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Son, how you do anything is how you do everything. Son, just remember this. Now I'm 10 years old, and I'm hearing it's never wrong to do the right thing. Fast forward. I marry my college sweetheart. I go into television. My field, she's a nurse. We have a couple of children. And you hit some bumps in the road. Uh-oh. All of a sudden, Mama ain't so dumb. All of a sudden, you're trying fiercely to remember just one word from your father. And I think if I can just capsulize this moment, the greatest lesson my father taught me was at the casket of my first wife. My wife, my college sweetheart, the mother of my two little children, she got breast cancer. And 6 years later, she went home. And I'm standing in front of her casket, holding the hands of my two little boys. And I look at my father, who by this point in my life, my father had become everything, because those words had come back. The word of God will not return void. And my folks really put the word of God in me. And despite the fact that as a child, I wanted to just reduce those words to just a faint murmur, now I'm clinging to them. I look at my dad in front of that casket, and I said, Dad, I've lost hope. my father, an uneducated man, he said, son, you can't lose something God gave you. You haven't lost hope. You've lost perspective. Now, son, just stand. That was the climactic moment thus far in my life. That one sentence impacted me so greatly that I said no to suicide, that I said no to running, that I said no to giving up. And that was 27 years ago, Pastor Jeff. I never thought in a million years that I would go all over the world and encourage people to not quit, to keep standing, that you've lost perspective for a moment. But I know a God that can help you regain perspective. I know a God that could reach down in the middle of the sea in the fourth watch of the night and pull you up. And so in a nutshell, my father just lived it. He just lived it. My mother did the talking. My father modeled Jesus. And so the lessons that he taught me were very simple. Son, don't judge people. He would say, I've been all over the world. I've seen good and bad in every shade. Now, here's a black man being judged every day of his life based on something as silly as the color of his skin. But yet he's teaching his boys, don't judge. The moment you start judging, son, is the moment you stop impacting. Son, you'd rather be an hour early than a minute late. Son, be kind to people. Kind deeds are never lost. Son, make sure your servant's towel is bigger than your ego. Son, whatever you do your best. Excellence ought to be your brand. And the greatest lesson he taught me, Jeff, was, son, you got to keep standing no matter what. You know, it's said that legacy is how we all want to be remembered, but I would argue that impact is why people will never forget us.
Mm. Oh, that is great. That is great. Rick,
I didn't answer your question.
Yes, you did. You did. Okay, so what your dad taught you had nothing to do with skin color. It had everything to do with character. And, yes. You know, we're in a huge racial situation today in America, and it seemed like we're so far away from Martin Luther King's dream where people would be judged on the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Now it seems like everything's the color of somebody's skin. What do you make of that?
Yeah. You know, one of the quotes that Martin King said is that we're either going to learn to dwell together in unity or we're going to perish together as fools. We have got to get beyond color in this society. We have got to. I'm living every day trying to push people to lift their view. When you look horizontally at life, all you see are impossibilities. But if you look up, you'll see hope found at the revelation of Christ. When I became a Christian, I didn't become a Christian because of the color of my skin or because of the color of my Savior's skin. I was overwhelmed by his love for me. And I was just reading last night about one of my heroes, Pastor Jeff. His name is Robert Chapman. Most people have never heard of him because he was a simple pastor in a very poor part of Barnstaple, England in the 1800s. But yet, a man by the name of Charles Haddon Spurgeon said that Robert Chapman was the saintliest man he ever knew. Chapman simply and unwittingly loved people. By his own admission, he wasn't a great preacher, but he said, my aim will be to love others without expecting to be loved in return. The answer to the question is, I believe that Christians have a wonderful opportunity right now, right in a racially charged culture. Ralph Waldo Emerson said an opportunity missed is an opportunity lost. I believe that if God gives you an opportunity, order room service and stay a while. And here's the opportunity. To love others without expecting to be loved in return. To love others in spite of. To love others regardless of. I think those are baby steps that will help us not ignore color, but to push past color as the defining variable. It's something our country has not done in 400 years. What a great opportunity as we usher in the coming king, because I really believe that these are the last days. And I really believe that if Christians would return back to the basics of life, the basics, right, that we could start making our great aim to love people regardless of who they are and regardless of what they look like. May I just say one more thing?
Sure.
I have a dear friend by the name of Dwight Edwards, fifth-generation grandson of Jonathan Edwards, the great preacher. Mm-hmm. And Dwight Edwards was one of my mentors, still is. And Dwight has written a book called Game-Changing Christianity. He'd be a great guest on your show. Hmm. And his argument is this. If you look at the spread of Christianity post-resurrection, the greatest years for that spread, or the greatest time period, was the first 300 years post the resurrection. And it was all based, according to the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, it was all based on faith, love, and hope, the big three.
Mm-hmm.
Not talking General Motors and Chrysler and Chevy, but faith, love, and hope. By the way, not a lot of clergy, not a lot of buildings, just people who simply and unwittingly pushed past their own prejudices, pushed past their own vices, pushed past their own insecurities, and loved people. Look at Jesus. I do a sermon every Sunday morning. I've been in Matthew for 2 years. I'm just at chapter 14. But I think that sermon every week is for me more than it is for my congregation. It is looking at Jesus, love everyone. And isn't it interesting that the issue of race is met in the Bible with love? Is that the situation in the country that we live in today? No.
No, it's a terrible problem. And, you know, you and I are good friends, and I connected with you immediately when I heard you the first time, Rick. I mean, God has really given you the ability to communicate and do it in such a fun way, but a deep way, and I appreciate that about you. You know, and no doubt you've experienced this. Some guys are good speakers, but they don't have a lot to say.
And, come on.
You're a good speaker that has a lot to say. And when I listen to you, I mean, there's some amens, and then there's some oh me's, and but that's a good thing, because the Word of God reproves, rebukes, and exhorts, and it does the first two before it exhorts. And so,
amen. You know, I grew up in a very integrated part of the world. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. On my block, we had Filipino, African American, Hispanic, and white. In other words, you better get along. Listen to this, Pastor Jeff. A couple of Christmases ago, Charles Payne, great guy, has a show on Fox, right, called Making Money with Charles Payne. He's kind enough to invite me from time to time, not because I make money, but he likes the human interest part, right?
Uh-huh.
The last time he invited me was right before Christmas. Here was the theme of the show. How do we get a conservative and how do we get a liberal to have Christmas dinner without killing each other? And my response was, have we forgotten what our parents tried to teach us? You know, I used to show my students at Texas A&M who looked at politics and the implications of politics on society. I would show them the debates not of recent times, but the debates of Mondale and Reagan, the debates when civility meant something.
Right.
And that's what I told that audience. Have we forgotten about civility and respect? Are we not willing to model that? And I told this story. The weather is so mild in California that sitting on the porch back in the day, I'm talking about the 60s, was common several months out of the year. My folks would have lively debates on the porch. I mean screaming debates with conservatives, with liberals. Me and the kids loved it. It was theater in the neighborhood. We couldn't talk. We loved it, man. Folks spitting on each other and shaking their fists. But you know what I remember, especially during the summer months when we could stay out late and watch? At the end of the evening, Pastor, they got up and hugged. They shook hands.
Amen. Rick, I got to break in. We're up against a station break. You're listening to Dr. Rick Rigsby. This is Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. Don't go away.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You've probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18 to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
The tornadoes that twisted across parts of the Midwest and Mid-South left an aftermath of overwhelming destruction and grief. Now, chaplains from the Billy Graham Rapid Response Team are there in the midst of the devastation, sharing the hope and love of Jesus Christ with those who are suffering. God is at work. You can find out how on Facebook. Search for Billy Graham Rapid Response Team. The Billy Graham Rapid Response Team, sharing hope in crisis.
Hello, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. As many of you know, Hurricane Ian devastated southwest Florida late last year, making landfall as a Category 4 hurricane and leaving tens of thousands of families in need of help. Hurricane Ian caused over $110 billion of damage, but today we're excited to announce that 8 Days of Hope 19 will take place in Fort Myers, Florida from May 20th to the 27th, bringing much-needed relief to these families in need. We'll be focusing on roofing and drywall, mechanicals, painting, and so much more. If you love to use your gifts to serve those in need, we invite you to join us. It's free. We provide the food and lodging. Everyone is invited regardless of your skill set or your age. If you can't volunteer, we invite you to pray for this outreach. Pray that the families we serve would see God glorified as we rebuild their homes. For additional information regarding this rebuilding trip and how to get involved, please visit 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
I've traveled a lot. I've met with people from all over the country.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
The most rewarding thing about my job is that we get to build relationships through our donors and our supporters and get to have that personal relationship with them.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. A charitable gift annuity benefits you and helps ensure the AFA will impact America for generations to come. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345. The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking to my friend, Dr. Rick Rigsby. He's an author. He's an incredible speaker, and God has used him in many, many different ways. And he was the professor at Texas A&M University back in the day, Dr. Rick. Now, Texas is going to the SEC, and I think we're going to renew the rivalry between Texas and Texas A&M. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I cannot wait. You know, Thanksgiving is just not the same without us beating you or you beating us. And so, you know, we gather around. We love the University of Texas. I like to tell people we only dislike you for 3 to 4 hours one day out of But, you know, college football needs that rivalry, I really believe. And by the way, Pastor Jeff, I loved your guest earlier, Brother Israel.
Uh-huh.
He made a couple of really good points that I hope parents are listening to. And just because you're going to school doesn't mean you're getting an education. One of the hardest things to challenge my students to do was to not just get a degree. And, you know, there's this incredible TED Talk by this Christian named Dr. Elmore. And Dr. Elmore talks about the inverse relationship of technology. And if I can for just a second, and even though it's taking us off football, which we could talk about for the last 15 minutes. Dr. Elmore, Tim Elmore is his name. The TED Talk is the inverse relationship of technology. And he makes a couple of great points. Let me summarize one. He said that, you know, it's not called the net. It's called the Internet. It's not called Gram. It's called Instagram. Everything is fast. Mm-hmm. The inverse relationship that kids could be learning is that anything that's slow is bad. And I would have the hardest time convincing my students to not click a button and express and expect breadth and depth of a topic. Don't just click a computer button. Elmore makes the argument that technology suggests that anything that requires labor might be considered hard. What happens when we take hard and slow out of the equation of life, whether it's education, whether it's ministry, whether it's building houses? And the point that I was driving toward is I loved when Israel said, don't equate going to school with getting an education. And I think so many people do. They get caught up in the name of the school. They get caught up in convincing their parents or their friends or trying to impress people. You know what? Learn something. Learn something that you're going to carry with you that can help you lift other people up. That's what my mom and dad were all about.
Amen. Well, I heard Jordan Peterson, he was telling parents, hey, if you're going to send your kid to college to get a liberal arts degree, don't send them there. They're not going to have any marketable skills. They're just going to be indoctrinated to hate America, to be a racist, all this terrible stuff. And that's even seems like it's bleeding over into math and science and medicine now. What do you make of that as a former college professor?
You know, first of all, I agree. And in my day, it was pornography. You know, I couldn't say the name Jesus, but there are classes being taught at the university level, not at Texas A&M, but at other universities that I'm aware of. They taught classes on pornography. Here's the big picture. I remember, Pastor Jeff, in the 80s when I was a graduate student learning about postmodernism. And I remember realizing that this is going to be a threat someday that no one seems to be talking about. It's an attack against Almighty God. In fact, one of the best descriptions of postmodernism in the Bible, I think, is Judges 17:6. I've memorized it. Listen to this. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as they saw fit. That is exactly what I'm talking about today when I talk about a society that has strayed away from the things of God, regardless of the issue, has chosen to deconstruct the tenets of the scriptures and reconstruct them in the image of themselves, which means we've elevated ourselves to deity. So this is being taught to our kids, this skepticism, this cynicism, this subjectiveness, all under the guise of a theory called postmodernism, a theory, by the way, that rejects the sovereignty of God and absolute truth, instead advocating independence and individualism. That doesn't work for me. And it should not work for anybody that claims to be a Christian, because it produces people who reject God while elevating themselves and their causes to deity. As a result, I think that we are educating a generation of kids who are morally bankrupt and spiritually depleted. Can I give some good news, Jeff, please?
Yes, good news.
Here's some good news. I would ask Christians that I thought were walking in a manner worthy of the calling, and I encountered many of them, not just at A&M, but at other schools as well. I would ask them, what strengthened your core? Listen to this. Friends in the American Family Life audience, listen to this. Parents, listen right now. I'm encouraging you to listen, because 50% of what you hear, you forget just like that. Of the remaining 50%, you lose 38% over the next 24 hours. But go against the odds and listen to this. Once again, when I saw kids that were really walking it on a university campus, I would love to say, what is it about how you grew up or what schools you attended? Was it a Christian school? A lot of times they'd say yes. Sometimes they'd say no. What was it? Pastor Jeff, the number one answer that kids gave me as to why their spiritual core was strong enough to withstand the challenges of postmodernity was this: when we saw our parents model Christ at home, listen to me. Listen to me. I have told men during men's conferences all over the world, the most recent was a couple of weeks ago, that the greatest thing a man can do for his child is to let that child see him loving his mother, loving her mother. Mm-hmm. That's the greatest thing we can do. When a child sees not just the parents go through the motions, come on, just check off going to church, just check it off, like checking off something on a task list. Mm-hmm. But when you actually encounter folks at home living it, that model has a profound impact on a child, on that child's security, on that child's life experiences, the way that that child processes things, and on that child's worldview. That is a, to me, that was a game changer. To hear young people say, my parents modeled it. Mm-hmm. They modeled it. Christian education can't do it all by itself. Come on.
Right.
Pastor Jeff, Pastor Rick can't do it. We can't do it all. We have to create in our culture, and this goes back to racism, this goes back to so many other things. We have to get back to being families that model Christ.
Right.
In our homes, Jeff.
Well,
and I think that it's in Tupelo is really important.
Amen. Well, and also, Rick, so the other side of that is if you have, you grow up in a home where mom and dad go to church, but it's just to check the box and it's not real at home, kids reject that. They just don't want that. And they say, well, if that's what Christianity is, I'm going to walk away from Christianity. And
in
it's
a whole generation of evidence of that, haven't we?
Yeah, we really do. And so, go ahead.
That ought to be a cautionary tale to every one of us. It's a cautionary tale to me. My kids are grown. My four kids are grown. But I got four grandchildren. You have grandchildren, Gigi. You have grandchildren, honey child. And it's a cautionary tale. Who cares about how powerful you are in the pulpit in Texarkana if you're not living it with Debbie?
Right.
And I think that that's a personal responsibility that doesn't require writing a check. Boy,
right.
I better calm down right now. I feel like preaching, brother.
Okay, so Rick, in your family, because you traveled a lot. Now, were you traveling when the boys when your kids were little? And what you have? What kind of mix?
Yes, boys? And yes, and the one thing I did take exception to Israel about when he said time was the issue. You know, I know a lot of busy people who make time for their kids, so I can see part of his argument. I learned early from Franklin Graham. Franklin Graham told me that, or told all of us, when he strayed, I said, what caused you to come back? He said, two things, a mama and a daddy who loved me unconditionally, and they never stopped praying for me. Okay, that was good. But what was really good was what his mother, Ruth Graham, once said. A reporter said, Mrs. Graham, Billy is always gone, always away. How in the world can he impact? And she said these words, 5 minutes of Billy is better than a whole hour with a lot of other men. Mm. And I use that as my motto. When I'm home, I'm home. Also, one thing that Janet and I did was we took the kids on the road quite often with us. Mm-hmm. And so there are ways that you can travel, that you can be away from home but not out of their lives. And I think that it takes an extra effort, and sometimes it's inconvenient, but it's worth it. And that's what we did. I still traveled. 200, you know, I was ready to retire, Jeff, 7 years ago, and then the video hit. And God gave me a new assignment. Had to resign from my pastorate at the church, gave me a new church called the Church of the World. Basically told me, they're not coming to me, you go to them. And so I still travel more than I did before. But my wife joins me, grandkids come, kids come, and you can make it work. Jesus had a traveling ministry, but yet chose to make relationships a priority. Come on, somebody.
Amen. Now, you've four kids. What's the mix, boys and girls?
Four boys.
Yeah,
my story, you know, Trina passes away, goes right. home in 1996. A couple of years later, I fall in love, meet Janet. She's a single school teacher. And just fall head over heels in love. Never thought I'd get married again. I was done. By the way, I hadn't dated since 1974. Didn't know what to do. Anyway, fall in love with the first thing she does is she, after we get married, she adopts my little boys, fulfilling Trina's last wish that her babies not go through life without a mommy. And then we have more, which means Jeremiah is 40, Andrew is 37, Zach is 24, Joshie is 22. Jeremiah is an attorney and has a couple of children, a great wife. Andrew works for Pricewaterhouse, great wife. She's a nurse, couple of children. And the 24-year-old is a senior at UT, which I have a hard time writing the check.
At
the
UT Austin?
UT Dallas.
UT Dallas.
It's the same thing, Jeff. It says University of Texas on everything I have to deal. I'm tired of it. Anyway, and the baby is an architect. He's in Austria these days studying architecture.
Wow.
At the university there in Innsbruck. And so we finally got granddaughters. And, man, it's a game changer. I had four sons. And so now I have two grandsons and two granddaughters. I love them all, but there's nothing like them granddaughters just going, Poppy. I mean, I just give them my credit cards. They can't even drive. They can have every credit card they want. I gave one of them a horse. We don't even have a barn, Jeff.
Okay, now the grandkids live close? The girls?
Two live in Portland, Oregon. And, you know, two live in Portland, Oregon. Two live close in the Dallas Metroplex. But the ones in Portland, we see them a couple times a year. They come in at Christmas. We go out in summer.
Amen.
And probably going to see them more than just twice a year.
Well, that'll be good. Well, Rick, if somebody wants to get in touch with you or wants to find out more, get your books, hear you preach and teach, where would they go?
Thanks for asking. RickRigsby.com is the easiest. RickRigsby. It's our webpage. It has our information and everything right there.
Well, we need to get you to come back to First Baptist Texarkana since we're just down the road a couple of hours, two and a half or three. And you've always been a blessing. Our church loves you, Dr. Rick, and you've always been a blessing. And we share a common favorite verse, 2 Chronicles. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you.
Second Amen, Pastor Jeff. I love you. Give our love to Debbie, and you call us anytime.
All right. God bless you, brother. Thank you for coming on. Well, you've been listening to Real Truth for Today, and that was Dr. Rick Rigsby, who's a phenomenal preacher. And just a solid brother in the Lord and solid theology. And he tells it like it is, and he has such a flair to do that. And I just love Rick. And so I hope you've been blessed today as we've been talking about marriage. We've been talking about family. We've been talking about the Family Life Conference in July. Check it out on AFR.net. Hey, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.